How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? The 11th session of Many a Slip, and the ladies are leading by 5-4 with 1 dead heat. The teams, as usual, on my right, the ladies, Isabel Barnett and Eleanor Summerfield. On my left, the gentlemen, Richard Murdoch and David Nixon. I'm going to read out some paragraphs written by Ian Messiter, and these paragraphs have mistakes in them. The first team member to spot a mistake presses a button. If it's a member of the ladies' team, it rings a bell. If it's a member of the gentleman's team, it buzzes a buzzer. The chairman's decision is final, especially when he's wrong, scoring when we come to it, and here's the first paragraph. Pumfret, the mastermind detective, was afraid it might be his last day. But he was not afraid of being shot, and nor was he afraid of his... Richard Murdoch.
You said, and nor.
And nor.
Well, he was the chap who had the ark. I'm sorry, but you should just say no.
No. And is superfluous. Right, scoring, it's 1 mark for spotting a mistake, another mark for correcting it, and the marks are credited to the team, so that's 2 to the gentleman. But if a competitor spots a mistake that isn't there, Murdoch?
It goes to the other side?
Goes to the other side, it does indeed. Score, kindly kept by good old Messiter. But he was not afraid of being shot, nor was he afraid of his assassinator. Isabel Barnett.
Assassin, surely.
Assassinator, quaint but acceptable.
Very quaint, but I must accept it. Yes.
So that's just 2 to the gentleman. But he hated the idea of being killed by being stabbed to death. Isabel Barnett.
That sounds awfully cumbersome. He hated the idea of being killed by being stabbed to death.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
What don't you like? The two beings?
Mm.
Stabbed to death, having
stabbed.
Been killed. Yes,
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 right.
Yes,
right.
Yes, that's better.
Right.
I'll give you 2 yes. marks for that tautology.
Yeah. Thank you.
You were on the wrong track, first of all, weren't you? He had twice alerted the police to come to his aid, but they had not taken him seriously, and he was angry at them for this. That was, who was the first one? David Nixon, your light came up first.
It should be angry with, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Angry with them?
You're angry at things, but angry with
people
and animals. 2 marks. He knew, too, that his assailant would try to make the proposed murder approximate a suicide. David Nixon.
Should I? Oh, yes, I should. Can you approximate?
Approximate means getting nearer, doesn't it?
Shouldn't it? Can you approximate things that aren't exact and aren't figures, for instance?
Make the proposed murder...
Look like.
Look like or resemble, yes, better. It's wrong to use approximate in this sense. 2 marks. He knew the attempt would not be made for at least a week, so he determined... Eleanor Summerfield.
Well, just now he was afraid this might be his last day.
Yes, very silly of me, wasn't it? So that's 2 to you. So he determined to spend the rest of the day dressed up as the man who he thought would murder him. In this alias, he strutted up and down in front of the... Richard Murdoch.
No, alias is another name. That's, it's a disguise.
Disguise, 2 marks. In this disguise, he strutted up and down in front of the police station until he was arrested. This saved his life and enabled him to play little tunes by blowing softly on his F-sharp obolus, accompanied... Isabel Barnett.
His F-sharp what?
Obolus.
Obolus.
O-B-O-L-U-S.
Oh. I've never heard of one.
How interesting.
I couldn't play F-sharp on one.
So you think this word is wrong? In
yeah,
this
I
sense?
Do. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can either gentleman tell me what an obolus is?
It's kind of nose flute, isn't it?
Well, we'll call that 2 to the ladies, then.
Oh, what, for facetiousness? It's only 1 for facetiousness.
An obolus is an ancient Greek coin worth 1/6 of a drachma. Anyway, he was blowing softly on his F-sharp obolus, accompanied most harmoniously by the local sergeant on his flute. Richard Murdoch.
No, he couldn't be accompanied by somebody on the flute if he wasn't playing one of these things that you... Greek bottle.
I quite agree, 2 marks. Needn't go any further. Score now, 12 to the gentlemen, 6 to the ladies. There's quite a lot of fun to be had in the simple study of words. For instance, by reversing 2 of the letters of united, it becomes untied. The word rose, in reverse, becomes eros. And Eleanor Summerfield.
No, it becomes Esau.
So it does. 2 marks. The word rose in reverse becomes Esau. A lot of good that is to it. And a simple word like graphologist, when reversed, is almost unpronounceable. But the letters in graphologist can be made up into several words like logs, trail, spoil, and frog. David Nixon.
Yes.
There's no F.
There's no F. There's a PH, but no F.
Yes.
Right, two marks. Words have one function only, to be read. Isabel Barnett.
Well, I've been speaking them for years. Which is another function, and written.
Yes. Really, words convey a meaning.
Yes.
Yes, main function. Two marks. Nevertheless, there are many which are frequently misunderstood. Along with being misunderstood, they are often misspelled. Richard Murdoch.
Along with?
Yes.
That's not very grammatical, is it?
Suggest something better.
Just...
As well as.
As well as, or...
Besides.
Yes.
Yeah, two marks.
Thank you.
They are often misspelled. Words with two of the letter E in them become deceptive. Words like sweet, greedy, procedure, meat, and cheap. Isabel Barnett.
Yes, there can be meat with two E's.
Yes.
It is meat and right, so to do.
That's it. Meat and right, that the gentlemen have too much.
Yeah. No, only one. I realised I was wrong.
All right, one. Meat and cheat. So, Isabel Barnett.
No, cheat hasn't got two E's.
No, it hasn't.
Unless
too
it's
much.
A cheater.
Some words, even names, are palindromic, which means they read the same either way up. But, David Nixon.
Either way from end to end.
End to end.
Forwards and backwards,
sideways,
yes.
Sideways, yes. Two marks. For example, deed, boob, anona, ballad, and pip. David Nixon.
No, you're right. You're right. Ballad. It's ballad. Got a B at one end and a D at the other.
Yes.
We'll settle for ballad, yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean you'll settle for it?
Well, that's what we're after, the two points, yes.
Palindromic.
Yes.
It isn't palindromic, or it is palindromic.
No, it isn't.
It isn't.
No.
Right, two marks. But perhaps the most confusing words to some are words having alternative correct spellings, like accommodation, judgment, and jewellery. This last can be spelled J-E-W-E-L-R-Y, as well as J-E-W-E-L-L-R-Y. Eleanor Somerville.
No, I don't believe that. You can't spell it double L-R-Y.
What should there be in it?
Jewelry.
Quite right. Yes. And two marks. There was also two marks that somebody missed. You could have pointed out that there's no alternative spelling to accommodation. Anyway, at the end of that instructive piece, 23 to the gentlemen, 16 to the ladies. And while we're on the subject of spelling, there are several ways of spelling hyena. H-Y-E-N-A, for instance, or H-Y-A-E-N-A, or A... Yes, Eleanor Somerville?
No, I'm sure there's only one way of spelling hyena.
H-Y-A-E-N-A is quite all right.
Is it?
Yes. Two marks to the gentleman. Or H-I-G-H-E-N-A. David Nixon.
No, I'll go for that one. You can't spell it like that.
Well, I was going on to say, but only the first two are acceptable. You jumped the gun. You would...
Oh,
foolish, rash, impetuous youth. That's two to the ladies. Although hyenas are more closely allied to the civet, they superficially resemble cats. Isabel Barnett.
They don't superficially resemble cats.
What do they superficially resemble?
Dogs, I would say.
Two marks for dogs. The observant zoologist will not have failed to notice that all the legs are different lengths. It's... David Nixon.
No, I would query that. It would make... they'd have a funny walk, wouldn't they? wouldn't they sort of, you know, have a kind of a rolling gait?
Yes, they would. All right. Two marks. It's quite obvious that the front pair is different from the back pairs.
Oh.
Richard Miller.
No, I'm sorry. No, you're quite right.
Just one to the ladies, then. It's quite obvious that... the front pair is different from the back pairs. In the... Eleanor Somerville.
You said pairs.
Yes, I did.
Well, it's only got four points.
Yes, I know. Two marks. In that the former are longer than the latter. Yes, Isabel Bonner.
Aren't the latter longer than the former?
No, the former are longer than the latter. However, when walking casually through the jungle, it manages to keep all 4 feet firmly on the ground all the time. David Nixon.
No. No, there must be the odd occasion when it's got to take one of them off.
Yes. so it must, too much. Even though the creature utters noises like laughter, it cannot be assumed that they have a keen sense of humor. In their wild state, hyenas are usually seen hunting in packs. David Nixon.
I understand that, and I've met several hyenas.
In this business?
Yes. No, actually, truly I have, in the jungle. But that's a long story, and this isn't the time or the place. And they hunt singly, I'm sure.
Yes, although it feeds in groups, it is essentially a solitary creature. Right. You missed two marks by pointing out a grammatical mistake. I said, even though the creature utters, and then I went on to say, they have. Nobody spotted that. And hyenas have been known to bite sleeping human beings. Hyenas are distinguished by the enormous strength of the jaws, the comparative length of the legs, non-retractable claws, and having four toes. David Nixon.
No, they've got a leg on each corner, so they must have. They must have 16.
16. That'll do. Two more. 33 to the gentlemen, 23 to the ladies. This next paragraph was typed on a machine which had on it the letter O, where the letter I should have been.
Oh my Gideon!
The letter O, where the letter I should have been. Fred stayed at the best hotel and had fallen madly on love for the Gaul across the passage. She had made him thonk. Isabel Barnett?
No,
it's
me.
Eleanor.
For the what across the passage?
Gaul, G-O-R-L.
Yes, he had, hadn't he?
Yes. So what were you buzzing for?
I was thinking.
You were thonking.
Yeah.
Well done.
So this will be a two to the gentleman.
Hong Kong.
No one.
This had made Hom think. Because yes.
It had made him thonk, hadn't it?
Two marks. And him?
Hom. It made Hom thonk.
Because he had arranged to meet her at 6 and she had not...
Socks.
Two marks, and she had not turned up. The number on her bedroom door was also socks. He could think of naught but socks. Isabel Bunn.
It's right in my head now. You could thonk of naught but...
Socks. Two marks.
Yes, sorry.
He had socks on the brain. Eleanor Summerfield.
No, he had them on the brayon.
He had socks on the brayon, two marks. The more he thought about it, the worse he became.
Ott.
The worse he thought about Ott. Two marks, David Nixon. The worse he became. Eventually, he got onto his pyjamas. Isabel Bunn.
Hos pyjamas.
And so to bed. After he had drawn the curtains...
I'm not going to pronounce it, but it's C-U-R-T-A-L.
Two marks for Curtains, yes. And pulled down the blonde. I think we've exhausted that subject. What was that extra bell for at the end?
Yes, that blonde. I withdraw the honk.
Just one mark to the gentleman.
My giddy aunt. My goddy aunt.
So that is now 40 to the gentlemen and 31 to the ladies. Memory test. Now I read out a piece of verse fairly fast. Later on I'll read it out again, but differently, and the teams will tell me how differently. Mary met a little wolf who wasn't nice to know, but he was rather rich until she fleeced him white as snow. And now I hand over to our musical mistakes man at the piano, Steve Race.
Roy. This week we go on a musical world tour. Won't that be nice? First stop, Paris. Eleanor, you were waiting for me.
Yes, you were starting the can-can office in the underworld bit. Then you went on to something else.
Yes. Do you know what something else was?
I'll tell you how the can-can
goes. You don't have to know.
I do.
Yes, it's a chitch-chatch.
Yeah, fair enough. You get the two marks. Sorry, Dickie. Your turn next, I hope. Going south, and east on our world tour into the central Mediterranean, we come to the adopted home. Oh,
dear. Southeast, central Mediterranean. Well, it would be sort of southeast Mediterranean, wouldn't it?
You don't even know where I was going to. No, central Mediterranean I was going to.
Oh, well, you're going too far east. Mm.
No, I'm not going to accept this. That's one to the ladies. Going then south and east into the central Mediterranean, I insist, we come to the adopted home of Gracie Fields. You get far with that, David. Better luck this
should
time.
Should have been da 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 dee dum.
Yes,
that was what was it?
The Isle of Capri.
No, the one he played was.
Anyway, you get your 2 marks. You get your 2 marks. Yes, Capri. I played Sorrento. Here is Sorrento. Eleanor.
Yes. That's right.
Oh, marvellous. Yeah. Hesitate to stop you, actually. Yes, for 2 marks there, at least. On with the world tour and the road to Mandalay. Oh, Dickie. Nice to hear from you.
No, I'm sorry.
No, we're just one mark off.
Talking about Europe.
Just one mark off, no. Dickie again.
It's the wrong rhythm. On the wrong rhythm. It's a march.
Well, I won't knock any marks off. I'll just play it as a march. Da da da.
I don't think the phrasing was right then. Dee dee dee
dee do do do. Where the flying fishes.
Dee 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 do do do.
No, where the flying fishes play.
Oh, is it?
No, that's the ladies. Oh, carry on from there. Lots of ringing this time. Eleanor, your light went on first.
Yes. Something comes up like thunder. Da bum 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 bum.
Yes. I play da 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 da. Yes, 2 marks there. Going on with the tour again. The 1966 Olympic Games were held in Tokyo. There was quite a popular tune at that time called Tokyo Melody. Isabel.
I thought it was called Tokyo Rose.
Well, you're on the right sort of track. I'm going to give you the marks there. That was Rose, Rose,
oh,
I Love You.
I Love You, not.
For your second mark, can you come up with the Tokyo Melody?
No.
Nor I.
And your partner? No?
No. My partner doesn't know at all.
Well, it was...
Oh, yes.
One mark to you there. Nobody pointed out that there weren't any Olympic Games in 1966. 64 they were in Tokyo. Last stop on the world tour, California. David.
The last phrase, you were kind of resolving it then, and
you were
going on.
The harmony, yes. You're quite right, yes. Quite right. Let's have the second half of the chorus. 2 marks for you. Second half of the chorus, then, starting now. Well, I tried. For 2 marks, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Steve Ray.
Score pretty close, 46 to the gentlemen, 41 to the ladies. Now on to our memory test. Mary had a little wolf. Isabel Barnett?
She met.
2 marks.
A little wolf.
Who thought he'd have a go? David Nixon.
No, that's wrong.
That's as far as you're going.
Well, he probably did, but that's not what you said.
Ladies, like to correct it for the other mark?
Yes. Who wasn't? Mary met a little wolf who wasn't very... What wasn't he very?
No, just one mark to the gentleman then. Who wasn't nice to know
nice
was the line.
To know.
But he was fairly rich until... Isabel Barnett?
Wasn't he very rich?
No, he was rather rich, rather so that's rich. Two to the gentleman. He met her sister too, Eleanor Summerfield.
She fleeced him white as snow.
She fleeced him white as snow. 2 marks. 45 to the ladies, 49 to the gentlemen. In these days when a large section of the country believe the trades unions are damaging our export trade, Isabel Barnett.
Did you say in these days when a large section of the community believed?
I said believe.
I'm sorry, I thought you said believed.
David Nixon.
Believes.
Believes very much better. 2 marks. Believes the trade unions are damaging our export trade. We are inclined to forget the Tolpuddle martyrs and the cause for which those 8 men forfeited their liberty. Richard Murdoch.
I'll take a chance on 8.
I said 8.
I know you did, but we don't agree.
How many?
David knows.
6.
6,
right. 2 marks. Around that time, there was an outburst of trades unionism, largely inspired by Robert Owen. But Her Majesty's government countered with a series of prosecutions. Isabel Bonnet.
I don't think it was Her Majesty's government. I think it was his.
Which one?
Would you like to tell me the date? I'll tell you the sovereign.
Would you like to tell me the date?
No, I wouldn't.
We'll stick to his.
You'll have your 2 marks. It was William IV. It was 1834. His Majesty's government countered with a series of prosecutions which it thought was a necessary requisite of law and order. This culminated...
Should it be requisite to law and... Oh, no. No, sorry. Sorry.
No, of's perfectly satisfactory.
If I apologise, could we just lose 1 mark?
No. Lose 2 marks. You could have got 2 marks by pointing out that there was tautology there, necessary requisite, saying the same thing twice. This culminated in the trial of the 6 Tolpuddle factory workers who were charged... David, Richard Merrick.
No, I don't think they were factory workers. They were...
What were they then?
Agricultural.
That's right, 2 marks. Or labourers, at any rate, who were charged with taking an oath of allegiance to their trade union. For this, they were exported under... Isabel Bonnet.
They were deported.
Deported, or transported to Australia, yes. 2 marks. Under a sentence passed by the courts for 7 years. But such was the public outcry against them, they were beheaded. David Nixon.
No, it wasn't. It was on their behalf, the outcry, wasn't
it?
So
what happened to them?
They were brought back.
They were, and released after 2 years. 2 marks. 57 to the gentlemen, 51 to the ladies. Not long after the Gallic invasion of Rome in 344 AD, a temple was built to Juno Moneta, the monitress. Yes, Isabel Bonnet.
I don't think she was a monitress.
That's what it says here, and who are we to argue with
Messiter? No, I wouldn't dream of it.
So that's just 2 to the gentleman. If you'd pointed out that I should have said 344 BC and not AD, that would have been 2 marks to you.
All same to me.
And attached to this temple was the first Roman mint, coins from whence were called... Isabel Bonnet.
Coins from whence? I don't like it.
I don't like it either. What would you suggest?
Thence. From which?
From which. Very much nicer. 2 marks. Were called moneta, hence the word money. Slang words have since cropped up for various coins. In Scotland, the word bawbee means a penny. Isabel Bonnet.
No, it's a halfpenny.
Yes. 2 marks. It can also mean money as such, I believe. In England, sixpence was a tanner or a tizzy, from which the South Africans get the word ticky. Acceptable slang for larger sums of money are as follows, and I shan't give all the meanings, as you know a lot of them. That's 2 mistakes you've missed in the last sentence. Ticky in South Africa is a threepenny bit and not sixpence, and there was a grammatical mistake when I said acceptable slang are. And I shan't give all the meanings, as you know a lot of them. A quid, a guinea. Richard Murdoch.
Well, a guinea is not a slang word.
Quite right. It comes from the name of the place where the gold came to make them originally.
Does it?
2 marks. A fiver, a tenner, and then up to quite a large sum, a pony for £20. Isabel Barnett.
No, a pony isn't £20.
How many?
I think it's 25.
It is. 2 marks. Have you anything to add, David?
No, I just wanted to... could I unbuzz that?
We were just ready in case. Yes.
If anyone is told he's won a monkey, he should be due to collect £100. Richard Murdoch.
It's more than that. A monkey is... how many did you say?
I said 100.
500.
500 is right for 2 marks. In North America, there are slang words, too. For instance, 1 cent is sometimes known as a red Indian or a nickel. The word...
Cent
David Nixon.
No, a cent is not a nickel.
How much is a nickel?
It's for five. Five cents.
And what's a cent called?
Cent, the Red Indian, or a penny?
Penny? Penny, right. 2 marks. The word quarter, you just got away in time there,
yes,
didn't you,
yes.
Murdoch?
No, don't take
I it didn't off. Hear you. The word quarter has come to be recognised as signifying 10 cents. Isabel Barnett.
25.
25, 2 marks. 50 cents is known as 4 bits, 4 quarters are a buck, and 100 bucks are a grand. David Nixon.
Grand is 1,000.
Grand is 1,000. 2 marks, bringing the gentleman to 68 against the ladies, 59. Some words are more difficult than others, and vice versa. Eleanor Summerfield.
Well, that's... No, you can't say that.
No, it's a lot of nonsense, isn't
yes.
it? Two to the ladies. Take this ironic remark. Poverty is anomaly to rich people.
Oh.
David Nixon.
Poverty is an anomaly.
An anomaly, that's better, 2 marks. Poverty is an anomaly to rich people. They cannot make out why those who want dinner do not ring the bell. That is an example... That is an example of an amorphism. But, Richard Murdoch.
No, and something else-erism. Aphorism.
Aphorism, for 2 marks. But it's not such a pithy example as this one. Democracy substitutes election by the incompetent many for appointment by the corrupt few. Richard Murdoch.
Well, that wasn't pithy.
Yes, it was, Murdoch.
No, pithy is something condensed. Isn't it?
Like an orange.
Yeah, well, it was... Ignoring that, it was Oscar Wilde who said it. Oh. Wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It was George Bernard Shaw. 72 now to the gentlemen, 61 to the ladies, and a song. You may remember the song Camp Town Races, words and music by Dr. Arn. It's Isabel
Barnett. That's wrong for a start.
Words and music by whom?
Well, certainly not by Dr. Arn. He was much more church-going.
Any nominations, gentlemen?
Wasn't it that old man of the South, America?
With a big cigar in his mouth.
I'm sure it must have been.
Just 1 mark. It was Stephen Collins Foster. And I'm going to read you the first verse and the chorus. De Camptown horses sing this song, Isabel Barnett.
It was the ladies who were singing it there.
De Camptown ladies, 2 marks. Sing this song, doo-da, doo-da. De Camptown racetrack, 2.5 miles long. Eleanor Summerfield.
It shrunk. 5 miles long.
5 miles long, 2 marks. Doo-da, doo-da. Eleanor Summerfield.
It's something like doo-da. All the blue dog day.
Day, left out yes. day, two yeah. marks. I went up da with my hat caved in. Richard Murdoch.
You didn't, you went down da.
I didn't, I came down
oh,
da.
Oh, you came down. It wasn't da.
Two to the ladies.
It wasn't
I came down da with my hat caved in. Do da, do da. I go back home with a bucket full of tin. Eleanor Summerfield.
That's a nice one. A pocket full of tin.
That's it? Right, yes, yeah. 2 marks. Do da day. Dickie Murdoch.
No, you... You left out your doodah.
Thank you. I thought we'd run into that sooner or later. 2 marks. Gwine to run all night. Gwine to run away. Isabel Bunt.
All day.
All day. 2 marks. I'll bet my money on... Isabel Bunt.
I think you were putting it, weren't you?
No, I'll bet. Two to the gentleman. On the bob-tailed nag... David Nixon.
I just assumed you'd be making a mistake there. I'll bet my money on the bob tail. Yes, sir.
That's quite right. That's just two to the ladies. Somebody backed the bay.
Somebody David. Bet on the bay.
Quite right. 2 marks. And at the end of that rather exhausting course, the gentlemen have got home by 1 mark. It's 78 to the gentlemen, 77 to the ladies. Which means that the ladies and the gentlemen have won 5 games each and there's 1 dead heat. And now, until next week, on behalf of the teams, Isabel Barton, Eleanor Summerfield, and Richard Murdoch and David Nixon and Steve Race, our musical mistakes man, I'll say goodbye.